Blog Talk Radio.
All right. We're live. I'm unmuted live here at Tabernacles. All praises be to the Most High. Thank you for all your support and what you do to support the church. Talk to me on this tabernacle. The Most High is calling back Israel. We have Brother Andre live. Shalom, Brother Andre.
Shalom, Elder. Shalom. How you doing today, sir?
Man, it's so good to hear from you. I'm doing well. Talk to me.
Yes, sir. It's a blessing to hear your voice, man. I want to tell all the saints, happy tabernacles to them. I'm driving, so I'm going to pull over right quick. I want to tell the saints, happy tabernacles to them. You know, it's a beautiful feast day. Man, Elder, it's a few quick points I wanted to make. I'm handling some medical business for the family and working, so I've been back and forth, you know, with tabernacles. And one point I want to make, I'm going to keep it short and sweet, is the brothers and the sisters learn so much being out there in the wilderness together. We learn how to handle offenses as Christ should. Some of the brothers, we was chopping wood and cutting wood. A lot of the younger brothers was helping out. It was their first time doing those things. We learned so much about manhood and womanhood out there, about masculinity and femininity. And one point I wanted to make to the sisters is when you ladies get a chance, read Josephus and see how insulting the woman king really is to the order of things that the Most High set. When you read Josephus, there's a part where I want to say, I could be wrong, but I want to say it's within the first, so within the first seven chapters, but Josephus talks about how when the serpent lived in the garden with Adam and Eve, and how he tricked Eve out of malicious intent. But there's a part that says that he tricked Eve with empowerment, because it says verbatim that he told Eve that she could live a life that wouldn't be inferior to a god. And it's always that empowerment that they get our women with. And then when you read further down in Josephus, I want to say, like, verse 49, it actually says that punishment was allotted to Adam because he weakly submitted to his wife and not the word of the Most High. So what sisters don't realize is through this empowerment, you destroy yourself. It's been that way since the beginning. And it's very insulting for them to not glorify your femininity, because that's the power that the Most High intended you to have. So it's just out of order. But I just wanted to share that Josephus tip, because it's amazing how when it says that Adam was punished because he weakly submitted to his wife. So that entire ideology of empowerment, of not submitting to the higher authority, is what will get you in trouble, being a man or a woman. Because being a man, we got to submit to Christ. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah. It's deep you're bringing that out, because the word empowerment in of itself is an evil word. Because empowerment implies that you're being empowered without stating who are you taking power from.
Exactly. See? Elder Wisdom.
Exactly. Who are you taking power from? It has to come from somewhere. So what they're doing is they're trying to make the man weak, knowing that it's easier to roll over women. And at the end of the day, if you get rid of what you would call toxic masculinity, is any man who stands with God, with any level of tradition or morals, and is willing to walk for those he loves. That's what toxic masculinity is in a nutshell. So the whole thing is, when they talk about toxic masculinity and all these things, keep in mind, brothers and sisters, and you sisters, you know, in particular, listen to me clearly. If they destroy the patriarchy, then who is there to protect you?
Exactly.
So understand. Understand, we can talk about empowerment and freedom and all these things, but this is war. This is war. Because what? In order for women to be empowered, they have to take power from men. And then it becomes a circular argument. Well, I got to take the power because they're weak men. Right? Well, they're weak men because they're weak men because you've been empowered with the strength they had to relegate through you to you through the system.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
So the whole thing is now, but I thank the Most High for men who are standing up now and saying, you know what? Power isn't given back. It isn't easily given to anyone. And men are standing up saying, they're not waiting for the system or for even women to give them power back, because people don't give power back. men, true men of the Most High, is going to take power.
They take it back. Exactly, Elder. Wisdom. Time.
And that's the metamorphosis that's going on in the world right now that's shaking things. For the first time, brother, I hear CNN talking about the manosphere. What they care about the manosphere? You know why they care about the manosphere? Not that it's all right. You know why they care about it? They care about it because sisters are actually over 68% of the spending power in the Western world. Women choose where the money goes. So it has nothing to do with empowering women because they want women, you know, to be free or have power or be protected. It's more so about, well, who spends the most money? So whoever has the most power in the house will be the greatest consumer. Who's the greatest consumer? So the whole thing is that even though I don't agree with everything with the manosphere, I agree with men now setting standards.
Men set
standards now. They're saying, well, hold up. We're not going to have no more barbershop talk anymore. Okay? Because being equal and being able to have jobs and having an opportunity to have the same job a man has, that's what? Have at it. That's fine. But they're going someplace else now. It ain't about equality in the workplace anymore. It's about taking power from men so that men are weak, so that everyone can complain about weak men.
Yeah.
And with this circular argument now, nothing gets fixed. We're at a standstill. Because now it's the woman blaming the man and the man blaming the woman. There ain't no blame. Men are men. You don't got to blame nobody. Men stand up in your position of with the Most High, and guess what? Get empowered from God to take back what the system gave away or stole from you. And then I'm going to tell you, women is going to fall, a woman of the Most High, or whether or not, going to fall in order anyway for survival.
Yep.
And that's where we go.
Man, Elder, I you said it all. I can't say anything else, Elder. You said it all. Profound. Bless you.
Yeah.
Bless all the elders. Man, you said it all.
Yeah.
Thank you,
my brother. Yeah, thank you. And I'm going to say this. Brothers, I understand what they said on the manosphere and all that stuff, but I understand why the government deemed that particular conversation a threat. Because for years, only women were having public conversation to say that they can do certain things and men aren't nothing, and speaking about men in our absence while working, programming our sisters and all that through the view to men. And men was quiet, okay? But now men are standing up, and I'm going to tell you, brothers, for men to become women and start cackling like women, it's not about that. It's about coming back to the Most High and taking a hard stance with him. And by default, being empowered by God, the world will have to fall in place, including women. Okay? We cannot make women the target. Because then what happened? We're no different than what we were complaining about them for. Okay? We're no different. We cannot make women the target. Okay, that's rendering evil for evil. If we thought it was wrong with them doing it, then we are men. When the Most High says, give honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, they're easily persuaded through emotion. If you understand that, why relegate ourselves to that weakness? See? No, we come back to the Most High and set a standard, and then they decide whether or not they want to follow. That's their choice. But whether they follow or not, we're following God. We're following the Most High. And that's all it is, because in the beginning, there was man made from the dust of the ground from the Most High. Woman was nowhere in sight until there was a need for a helpmeet. And it's time for men to prioritize themselves in that connection so that there's no need to complain about women. I digress. Lydia has a comment.
Yes, Shalawan, Elder Ricarciel, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Lydia. The floor is yours.
Yes, bless you, Elder
Hold on. This person from Philippians, this person from Philippians 4:13. If you put another comment like that about that brother in our comment, you're banished forever. Okay? It's the Most High who teaching men how to be men. The next time you put a comment like that, you in gigabyte land. Okay? We're not dealing with your nonsense up in here. All right? And it's as clear as that. You put some nonsense like that, Philippians, and you in gigabyte land. Or call in and face us instead of hiding behind a computer. You got one more time. We're not playing with you anymore. Get out of here. You got one more time. Or call in and face yourself like a man and stop hiding behind your keyboard like a woman. Okay? Let's go.
What I was going to say, bless Elder Lawyer as well as you, Elder Ricarciar. Yes, my comment is that I'm looking at your sweatshirt, the Lion Bread. It's powerful. Do you still have that on site so I can get it tomorrow?
Yeah, Lion Bread Christ Led. This is the brand that we're doing through it's very nice. I Am Royal Fashions, and this is the first rollout that we have with Elder Yurok's brand, Lion Bread Christ Led. I walked inside the store with this today, and you know it has the claws also, as you can see.
Right. Yeah,
right?
I would
claws
like to get
there
that for
and,
my husband.
And the claws there. So I got the whole sweatsuit, but yeah. As soon as we finish Tabernacles, it will be online. It will be online right after Tabernacles. Next week, you'll be able to order online. I have the sweatsuit, but, man, these things are going like crazy here at Tabernacles. But, yeah, you'll have access to be able to order it online next week. Okay?
Wow, that's powerful. And to your comment about Viola Davis, the king, you know, it is an embarrassment to the Israelite females. And my question is, what did her husband say about that role that she portrayed? Because she's been married for a long, long time. You know, I was just wondering, you know, what did he have to say about her?
It's obvious, sister, who wears the pants in that family, right? Is it not obvious who wears the pants in that family? I wish a woman, a wife, or whatever, an actress would come to me and say, "Well, yeah, honey, yeah, I'm going to do a role called Woman King."
Yeah.
I'm like, listen. First of all, we're not dealing with this transsexual type of ridiculous putting out there to confuse people. How can a woman be a king, and why would they apply it to a black woman? This is what I need. I need you to be a woman. How about that? I don't need you to take that role. I need you to sit down and follow me. You understand that? Period.
Yes.
That's what I need you to do. You can't take that role that misrepresent the true beauty of a black woman. You're being misrepresented. And you're acting like a mascot. He should have told her, you are a mascot, and the white women and others are laughing at you.
Yeah,
There's nothing to be proud of. And see, the brother should stand up and tell her this and say, listen, I don't care about the money. There's something greater than money.
Right.
It's called pride.
That's right.
Pride
yes.
in who you are, and you're misrepresenting me. And guess what? There was a cornerback by the name Amswa, he was a Amswa, whatever his name is, and he was a cornerback with the Raiders and the Philadelphia Eagles. One thing I can respect about him, his wife, who played on Scandal. What was the girl name on Scandal where these men hating women are writing all these roles where our sisters are actually just being tossed around by these men, white men in particular, in Scandal. His name was
she was the
Azambwa.
Washington.
Her name was something Washington. Pretty Kelly woman and
Washington
all that.
Or something. Yeah.
No, I forgot her name. But as you can see, her husband.
Washington.
I remember. And sister was like, go girl. She's being tossed around in the White House from one white guy to the next. And it was supposed to be his power broker. And see, these are the roles they want to give our women.
Listen,
on top of that, he stood up and told his wife, well, listen, you're going to have to back up off that show. It was enough you was being bedded by the president in adultery, the first lady in the White House. But now they're going to toss you between two of them? And her husband stood up and said, no, I'm being disrespected at this point. Kerry Washington was her name. So the only time they can celebrate a sister is if she's playing the role as a bad
word for
NASA. Or she's out of her role being a woman king.
Right.
And there's so many feminine, nice women. Guess what? I go into the store the other day. I go to get a robe because I'm out here in the wilderness. I'm like, I need a robe at least to walk around and wrap myself, right? A robe. I left my robe at home.
Okay.
I see this nice picture of these women.
Okay.
The white girl looks like a normal model. The Asian girl looks like a normal model. Even the Latina woman looks like a regular model. And they got the black girl sitting there with her head shaved off in a bull ring in the middle, looking simple as a day's old. I'm like, what is going on here?
Mm.
It's like they're embarrassing our sisters, and there's enough sisters out there that are willing to take the role for the embarrassment.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? As a man, I can see exactly what they're doing here. Sisters can't see that? They got every other woman, looking appealing to men, not just black men, and have the worst looking woman that does, that's everything a man, not just a black man, don't want.
Mm.
And obviously, subconsciously, this is feeding into society saying that our women are less desirable through imagery. And now the young Generation X, Generation Z, they're picking up on this, and subconsciously, they're talking about, listen, let me go find someone else. That's what they're doing because we're taking roles that are uncomely.
Mm.
And sisters are looking at these roles saying, well, this is what I have to do to be accepted by Hollywood and others. Well, let me take on these roles now. All right. So I'm going to tell you, it's time for sisters to start standing up and saying we're being misrepresented and we're making a hard line between us and the portrayal you're putting out there on us, because now everyone is looking at it's hard enough for our women to get men already. Relationships are being destroyed. And now the imagery is saying they're the less desirable. Okay? And I'm looking at the
person,
and I'm like, y'all can't see this. Every other woman is looking dainty, slim. Yeah. They're looking like they're healthy. Their hair is flowing. And they got this, they got a mascot in the middle of it, messing the whole thing up. I'm like, there's beautiful sisters we see every day. And they could have hired a sister that would have knocked all those women off out the box. But they don't want our sisters represented as the queens they are. And it's time for our sisters to stand up and say no more. All right, sister, anything else before I go to the next one here?
Yeah, Viola Davis is a beautiful black sister, too. Beautiful. I've seen her in her natural state. But, you know, she doesn't even need the money.
Sister, that's what I thought at first. See, but beauty is deeper than just the outward appearance.
Yeah.
Viola Davis doesn't represent anything that God intended for a man. So it's deeper than her outward appearance.
Yeah,
So I'm saying, what you're saying is from a woman's perspective. A man who's attracted to women would look at her and look at the role she's taking on and realize that she's she don't qualify.
No, she doesn't.
She doesn't qualify.
She doesn't.
So she doesn't qualify for a man, for a man that has means and have choices. Because
right,
a good
right.
woman would make a better choice than that, than to actually become a mascot and a laughing stock when she knows she's putting in the role to represent all of our sisters. And here it is, our sisters who are dark-skinned already deal with colorism and all those things. And if you want to cast who look good, but in that type of role?
Mm-hmm. Especially when she's married.
So what I'm saying,
like,
is that's putting our sisters back. Listen, that's putting them back years and years and years. They already got to fight in this
right,
earth.
Right.
They already got to fight with the colorism thing and all that. And then when you do
right.
that, now Wakanda and how they did Black Panther, of course people came out for that because it represented. It represented royalty. It represented a patriarchy. It represented even good-looking women. But
mm-hmm.
they said, no, we're going to take a spin off that, and we're going to have the women in charge, and I hope it crash and burn. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's evil, and it misrepresents who we are, and it misrepresents sisters. And on top of that, how can you celebrate a narrative where women are fighting to keep us in captivity? No, sister, guess what? It's not the white man that's the nemesis or the bad guy in this movie. It's the black men who's the enemy in this movie. I hope it crash and burn. I hope it make $3. and guess what? And I will never support another. Listen, at one time, I really respected Viola Davis. I thought she was a beautiful black woman. But I will not look at anything she ever did.
Yeah,
a map for me going forward. I will not support a penny, and I will actually use my voice against her artistic value, against her
right.
artistry going forward.
Right, right, right.
Anything she does going forward, because
right.
guess
Elder,
what?
Elder,
we're the king.
Elder, I don't mean to cut you off. I know some. I have a question about the Hebrew Academy.
Yeah, go ahead. Give me the question so I can go to the next one.
Okay, so I've been in the academy for like 6 months now, and I've had no issues
yeah.
with getting my subscribe and my recording. Now, when I got back home, because I was at Tabernacle on Saturday at the event, and I truly enjoyed it, and I will be there tomorrow too. With the women's group, but I did not when I got the for Sunday's what is it four session, I tried to put in the password. It just kept coming invalid, and like I didn't even get the recording on Monday. And usually I
okay.
get that to the recording, but
okay.
It's not
well, so
working.
That's an easy fix. That's
not working.
Listen, you're saying that in a nutshell, what you're saying is it's not working and you need assistance. That's no problem. I'll have AC call you. Hold on, one second, Lydia.
Yeah,
I'll have AC call
emails.
You. Don't worry about it. I'm gonna fix it. You're talking to me now, okay?
All right.
All right. Let me write this down.
Yeah, because that's what I'm
gonna make sure everything is good for you. Hold on.
Okay. Great.
Okay. All right. AC is gonna call you. Okay. And he'll
yes.
call you tomorrow. Make sure you get everything, and you're caught up by Sunday. All right, Sister Lydia.
Absolutely, and I will be
right,
there tomorrow.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow, Lydia.
All right, bless you.
Elder Lloyd, you have anything to say before I go to the next call? Are you good?
No, sir. We can move on to the next call.
Okay, Zedekiah has a comment.
Shalom, Elder. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am blessed by the best. First and foremost, I want to give all praise to the Most High, Higher by Hashem Yeshaya. I saw you at the Tabernacles. I said Shalom, Elder. You walk with a purpose, so it's hard to get a hold of you, but I respect it because the work you do is graced by the Most High.
Okay. Well, thank you, brother.
Of course. So I had a question pertaining to the sin of King David's census. I just wanted more understanding on that. If you could elaborate, I didn't understand what was his sin in particular when he took the census of the kingdom of Israel.
Because it's against the law to number the children of Israel. And the reason why is because that's an act of war.
Mm.
That's an act of war. If I number your community, if I came and knocked on a door and I went into the suburbs, just say if I went into Fort Washington, Pennsylvania, which is predominantly white people, and started knocking on their door and asked them how many people in their homes,
mm.
right? They would ask me, why are you clocking my house? Right? What do you need to know how many people in my home for? That doesn't sound right. So the whole thing is, usually when you're numbering someone, you're actually sizing them up so you'll know exactly what's needed in manpower to overtake them. That's why it's against the law for David to number the children of Israel. Because suppose the enemies get to that number and they understand exactly what army to form to take Israel out. So census mm-hmm. is an act of war. Okay. Now, it works on the other side also. There are certain things that are needed in a community. You'll notice actually how many people and how many resources to accumulate to satisfy that area. That's what they're telling us. But it can also be used for other stuff. That data can be used to come against people. So you're not supposed to number people because that's an act of war. Like if I was to go knock on the door in a predominantly white neighborhood or any other neighborhood outside of myself, you know, it would be a risk there. I mean, I might not make it out. Like, what are you clocking my people for? So it's really a preemptive act of war. When the census can be utilized for one thing, but it can also be used in genocide, for genocide. You got it?
Also, one more thing, brother.
Okay.
It's funny. As everything is going down, and I'm hearing you basically prophesy on the Hebrew and Bible Academy, it's like every other week I'm seeing more and more Muslims in my community, and my community isn't necessarily the ghetto. It's kind of like predominantly, it's kind of like the threshold between a white neighborhood and a colored neighborhood, and they've just built the mosque in my neighborhood. And I'm seeing more and more Muslim people, so I'm literally witnessing what you were basically saying in the news, basically be fulfilled. And it's interesting because I remember what Albert Pike had stated in his letter about having the Christians and the Muslims war. So I'm seeing that everything go down right now, and it's crazy because. At this point, we're probably outnumbered by Muslims in our community after a couple months.
Can someone say allegedly insurgents? You know what an insurgent is?
Sort of, but you can. Could you explain?
Okay, this is something we were hearing during the Iraq War, the Afghani War, that something happened and there was insurgents. It was insurgents that was disrupting things in certain countries and all that. It says insurgent. Insurgent is a person who revolts against civil authority or an established government, especially a rebel not recognized as a belligerent, one who acts contrary to the policies and decisions of one's own policy party, insurgent. So, I mean, who knows? It could be that we're not hearing too much about ISIS and Al-Qaeda anymore, are we?
No.
They just magically disappeared, huh? Oh, they poof. They disappeared, or did they? Get ready to hear about some wild activity happening in the United States, and look for the Republicans when something goes wrong to say, well, they opened up the borders and did, and wasn't vetting people, and anything could have happened. Who knows? Allegedly, terrorists could have leaked in with some of your so-called immigrants, and it's the Democrats' fault that now what was over there in the Middle East is now here. Get ready for that narrative. Get ready for it. They're going to say it's Biden's fault that the insurgents are here, and now we have to do everything we can to protect American citizens from the T word, terrorism. Who knows? Maybe. Let's see. All right. But we got the most tides. Okay. Do you have your passport?
Not yet, Elder. But I'm
okay. Why not? Why not?
Times are tough right now, Elder. I got two jobs. I got plenty of bills.
Okay. Do you have family?
None. I have two children and a wife.
Okay. You say times are tough. You're baptized in the church, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you out camping?
I was. I had to return home for work, but I was there for the weekend.
Okay. And what congregation are you under?
The Bronx Body.
What?
The Bronx Body.
The Bronx. Okay, you get with me, get with the people in the Bronx, and don't worry about it. I'll look out for you and your family's passports, okay, personally.
A lot, Elder. I really appreciate it.
No problem. You're my brother. Finished. That's all you have to do. All right? Let's get ready.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Absolutely.
All right, bless you.
My
I'll place you on hold. I'll take care of that for you, my brother. All right? Don't worry about it. All right. Let me place you on hold. Okay, 574 area code.
Unmuted.
Shalom, 574 area code. Okay. I'll be back, 574. George has a comment.
Shalom, Mild.
Shalom, how are you, George?
I'm all right, Elder. I just wanted to first off by saying I appreciate everything, and I just know the Most High led me to the gathering in Christ Church for a reason. But yeah, this is George Persian from Detroit Body. My comment is I wanted to call and comment when you were breaking down Moab. And the reason why I want to say that, because I was at work, and when I was at work, I was talking to one of my, you know, employees, and, you know, I'm in Michigan, and they have a bank called the Detroit Bank where you can buy homes and whatnot that's already kind of run down, where a lot of homes in, like, the bad area.
Okay, before we go into your story, and I'll hear the whole thing. When you say Moab, what people are you referring to?
The Chinese.
Chinese are not Moab.
Con. So I may have a confusion when you had broke that down the last time.
Yeah. Chinese, all of Asia, before Alexander the Great came in with his generals and started taking different areas after his death, the Asians had Europe. And this is why Europe was called Asia Minor, all the way leading up into China. These are Japhetic people, okay? They're Japheth, okay? When it talks about Magog, that's China.
Okay,
so you're talking
okay,
about the sons of Japheth, all right? When you look at Moab and Ammon, they border Israel. You're looking more so at the ancient or the modern-day Palestinians and Jordanians.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Palestinians and Jordanians are Middle Eastern. There's no history anywhere where Moab and Ammon went to China. That's some I don't know what that is. It geographically doesn't make any sense. Historically or biblically, it doesn't make any sense for anyone who has a map to call Chinese people, not you in particular, because don't forget, when I came up under UPK, we were teaching that, okay? And that's just what's showing that, listen, you know, I don't mean to disrespect anyone, but no one picked up a map and asked questions and say, how do they move from the borders of Israel to China? Okay? And then they started dealing with some type of philosophy claiming that, Down syndrome that came from Lot's daughters dealing with Lot. And that's how they had Chinese eyes. And this is what makes them Chinese and Japanese. I'm like, what? Nonsense. Pull up a map and look at where Moab and Ammon was and are till this day. They never went across the Mediterranean or into China. That never happened. They're Japhet, but I digress. Right. You can give us a spill on Japhet that's now taking over the neighborhoods now. And it so happened the so-called disease organically, coincidentally, allegedly, came from Wuhan. So I don't think it's a coincidence that now something comes into our neighborhood disproportionately affects us. And now the same people where it came from is now overpopulating the area and taking it over. Maybe, who knows how they made space for themselves. But I digress.
Yes, sir, I need to go back and check on that. So I think I got it mixed with a different lesson you had brought up where you were saying the East Indians. And
East Indians are predominantly the ones we're seeing over here are Kushites. Some of them are Elam, but believe it or not, there's an area of Elam or East Indians who are Israelites, right? Timothy. One of the disciples, one of those that was amongst the disciples, was buried in East India. You got the areas of us that are there. Then you have the Kushites, which are Kush, like Babylonian. Kush going into Ethiopia, or parts of East Indian, like Nimrod was. He would be considered an East Indian today. Okay? And then you have some of the Elamites, who are, don't forget, I mean, you got millions, billions upon billions of people. I mean, millions upon millions of people. You know, in East India. I mean, in India in general. There's one area of India that's over a million people that's not even on the map. Okay. So, but I digress. Come on.
Khan, yeah. So when I was saying the East Indians, I wasn't saying East Indians is the Moab. I was just continuing the story. I remember you was mentioning a portion where you were saying you were talking about the East Indians coming over there and inhabiting a lot of our communities. And as one of my coworkers went through the Detroit Bank to buy a couple homes in like the ghetto areas, and he was telling me how a lot of homes is getting bought out by specifically, because he's not in the truth, so he don't understand really, but he was telling me by specifically Chinese people and East Indian people. He was saying a whole bunch of them are buying out a whole bunch of houses and like the ghetto neighborhoods. And then when I thought about it, I thought about the lessons that you were bringing that up. So I just wanted to relay that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, let me tell you. It sounds like this is a political social engineering outright replacing our people in the neighborhoods. Don't forget, these immigrants aren't coming into the suburbs overtaking white people. The only place that we see predominantly they're being placed in is amongst us. And we have to ask, how are they making room for these people? All right? So thank you, brother, for that, all right?
Yes, sir. It's a lot of elders.
So we have to get ready because, really, at the end of the day, they're going to be holding a bag when Babylon falls anyway. So they can come in and think they're going to align themselves politically and socially against us, but God is going to judge these usurpers. That's what they are, usurpers. You can call them immigrants all you want. They're usurpers. It's the political parties trying to hold their political parties together, right? Because a bird cannot fly without two wings. They understand that our people are asking for real tangibles now, so they're looking to protect their democracy by replacing us as a constituency. But it's not going to work. It's not going to work. They can do what they want to do. At the end of the day, they're going to be holding the bag when the war comes here, and we'll be in the wilderness. Right, so they can think they're usurping us if they would like. Thank you, brother. Anything else before I go to the next call?
No, sir. It's just wanted to mention, man, they is definitely buying up a lot of houses in the ghetto neighborhoods because they going for super cheap, like $1,000, $1,500. They buying them up. And he just tell me all the time, this, the Chinese and the East Indians, they just buying them up, but he don't understand. So I was like, wow, that's wild how you was bringing that through prophecy that would happen. So, you know, I wanted to mention that.
Allegedly, why do you think one of the first things under the Biden administration, one of the first bills that were passed was an Asian hate bill, using about one or two instances of some type of what you would call fight between a black man and an Asian person? Why do you think they were promoting that as if there was a real epidemic of black people coming against Asians? No, that had nothing to do with, I don't think, of the stories they were promoting at that time, more so than them knowing that as the more they squeeze our people in the communities and all that, and they squeeze us out to where we're suffering, and now that they've replaced us with Asian people and others, they know preemptively down the line that the only way our people can survive is to take from those who are around us. So these hate crimes I believe they're putting in place is probably because they know eventually our people are going to realize we're backed in a corner, double-crossed, And we're not going all the way to suburb to take out, you know our pain on these people. We're not going to travel miles and miles away, you know, to try to make some level of, you know, to even things out. We're going to look at these other people who circumvented us and say, you know what, they got what belongs to us. Let's deal with them. So this is why they put those things in place, knowing that eventually when our people realize we're double-crossed, we're going to go to the people who don't look like us and say, give us what belongs to us. I believe that's why they put that Asian hate crime in place, because there's no epidemic or no breakout all over the earth, America, where black people are going against Asians. That doesn't exist. But they know that eventually when they squeeze us out and they cut off our programs, that we're going to go to the next corner and see all these people living okay. And you know what? That's when things are going to break out, nation against nation in our communities, and they're going to blame us for Asian hate crime, when really, we were usurped. We were chemically usurped, bioweapon usurped. We were actually taken out of the way so that they can replace us, and eventually our people are going to seek, some of our people who don't know how to actually deal with this righteously and politically are going to seek revenge on those who don't look like them close to them. So, hey, just get out of the way. Christ said nation against nation, so they're cooking up a race war in our communities. And that's what I think, allegedly, probably. So we'll see, though. I'm just going to get out of the way and get some popcorn and look at it happen. And eventually, we're going to be in the wilderness flipping pancakes. All right? Thank you, my brother. All right. All right, real quick. Let me just give brothers and sisters some level of geography real quick so we can break down prophecy right going forward. Okay? Stop saying, not you in particular, brother, but other groups out there are lying, telling people that Moab and Ammon are Chinese and Japanese. Nonsense. Okay? If you get that wrong, you'll get all the end days prophecies incorrect. Gog and Magog is China, who is Japheth. As you can see on this side of the Mediterranean right here, this is Israel, the east, right here. So you can see here. All right? See that? Let me go back. All right? All of this right here is Israel. And as you can see, the kingdom of Moab is right here in purple. Ammon is right next to them. Okay? These are Arab tribes. These are Arab tribes who are from the sons of, you got it, the sons of Lot. This is not Chinese, and this is not Japanese. China and Japan is in an entirely different geography on the other side, on the other side of Europe. Okay? So get it together so that y'all can break down these prophecies correctly. All right, let's go to the next call. George has a comment. I just had George. Our Lawrence has a question. Lawrence.
Shalom, I'm glad to hear you. Can you hear me?
Hey, Lawrence, how are you?
Pretty well. I did have some like curious questions. Of course, I'm the rap artist JC, but I did. I've been following you all since 2016, and definitely hopefully represent right. I did have some questions about, of course, the Biden. There's been a whole lot going on with the midterms, and of course, they're supposed to get ready for a 2024 election. But it was a rumor it's supposed to have been another blackout winter. And I didn't know, like, what the things to look for, because, like, well, you know, like, here we go again.
You said that it's going to be another what?
A blackout winter. Another hard winter.
Okay, do me a favor, if you may. Can you turn me off in the background? It's hard as me
yes,
hearing
sir.
Myself.
Yes, sir. Sorry.
Yes, do that first.
Sorry,
no problem. No issue.
Okay.
Thank you.
Make it quiet. Okay. Can you hear me clearly?
All right. Let's hear that again. Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it. Now, you were saying a blackout this winter?
Yeah, this is a blackout
this winter.
It's a lot.
Okay. Let me answer to that real quick, right? There's been talk about some type of blackout as far as some type of grid thing that could happen through Russia and all that, allegedly, and sometimes maybe putting those things out there. But really, and I've discussed this in the Academy, and Chapat brought it out, that really what we may see is what they would call climate lockdowns.
Right?
Because what's happening is, you notice that there was an executive order put in place about climate change, as if our people are concerned about that. We're concerned about what's going on in our current lives right now. We don't, and
correct.
This is about the earth and all that has no consequence on us. But here
right,
it
right.
is.
We got the Most High.
We're not down with that. We're down with what the Most High say. But all in all,
right.
it's like this. They started taking, as they would say, CO2. Measures. It was measuring CO2 during the time of the lockdowns and claiming that it helped the earth when the lockdown, you know, happened during the what they would call C19. And what they were saying was, inadvertently, they found something good that happened, because during lockdowns, there was less people on the roads, there was less people out breathing the good air that they should be breathing, and the CO2 level went down. So now they say, well, we found a jewel doing C19, because if you lock down, we can save the earth in the future. So possibly we can be looking at what you would call, and this is also in some of their documents and journals, climate lockdowns. A matter of fact, I'm going to type that in real quick so you can't think that I'm actually making this up. I know that Chapat end up talking about this, right?
In respect to the others, yes, understandable.
Yeah, so this is the heel, and I'm talking about real-time mainstream, okay? Mainstream
right.
news articles, all right? And I'm going to put it up here so that others can see this real quick, so others can see it from the heel. One moment, allegedly.
Okay.
All right, 1 second so that others can see it. From the Hill, coming soon, opinion and finance, climate lockdowns. Folks, you have to realize when this stuff happened with C19, there's companies who made billions upon billions of dollars because of this. All right? So, I mean, outside of what they say it happened. But as you can see, this is not a conspiracy theory here. And this was February 22, and we reported on this in the Academy a long time ago. It says the past 2 years have been a checklist for the worst impulses of government and public sentiment. C-19 allowed for purposely temporary measures to morph in 2 years of emergency restrictions, but what if C was only the opening act? And it goes into it how the how a lot of your so-called think tanks are talking about climate lockdowns. And usually it's during the winter. And that's why the Bible says, pray the fight be not in the Sabbath, neither in the winter, neither on a Sabbath. So they usually wait to the wintertime when there's not much activity to drum up some of these things going into the springtime. So I'm just saying.
Right.
They may call
right
it whatever they want to call it. I don't know. They may call it a sunburst. They may call it a hack of the grid and the power grid from Russia. Who knows what they're going to call it? But all in all, it's a coincidence that at the same time they're talking about locking people down because of the climate.
Right, I'm with you.
So that they can use less.
Yes.
All right. So
wow.
I don't know what they're going to plan. I know what the Most High says is going to happen, though, and I know we have to be prepared. And that's why a lot of our brothers and sisters, they got land and got an acre and sometimes get an RV and make sure you have a well digged and all those things throughout the earth and make sure you're able to leave the city and go into a place of refuge until things come back. All right? So it's time to make individual moves. Yeah. Eventually,
right.
What we're doing out here, camping and all that amongst each other, is in preparation for that. So eventually the cities are going to become toxic, unbearable.
Right. Yeah.
So
and two more questions.
Go ahead.
Hurry up, other before finish. Like I did mention about probably need some help. Of course, join more into the church and catch you off more on between the Passovers as well. I did mention between DMV and I mentioned passports, and they said between only that they issuing domestic at the time, like you could travel between the states. I don't know if that was dealing with because of COVID or how things was after the lockdowns. I didn't know what the fully terms. I didn't ask fully, you know, what the reason being that they would just be issuing those types.
Okay, where did you go? Where did you go to apply?
Of course, Pennsylvania, the other side of Chester, Wilkes-Barre, and the DMV.
No, I asked you location.
Sorry,
you went to the DMV to apply. You said the DMV.
The DMV.
Where did you go to apply? Did you? Huh? No.
I went
don't go there. Go either to a library. Go to a library that does it. Or a post office, and make sure you expedite it. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
They can't restrict your travel. Okay, that's unconstitutional unless you have a felony. Okay.
Right.
So you go to a library, look in your respective area, and check the library or the post office near you, and expedite your passport. You'll get it. Okay.
So library and expedite. So I'll definitely have this down. And I thank you for the heads up of the information for the lockdowns out there. Helped me so much. Thank you for that. Helping
out
the congregation as well.
No
problem.
But make sure you have some food stored, some dry goods, and some extra water. All right? Because when the chaos ensues, you don't want to be the one out there ravaging for rations. Okay.
Right.
You want
I started on
that
other.
Clear.
I started.
Okay, great. Great. Fantastic. All right. You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you, my brother. And Shalom, what is your rap name again? I'm going to look you up. I want to hear your stuff.
Okay, J-A-C. I'm on SoundCloud.
J what?
Elder.
J-A-C. J what?
Jake.
J?
Jake, but J-A-C spelled.
J-A-C, Jake. I like that. All right, I'm going to check out some
Elder.
Of your stuff. I'm going to listen to it tonight, okay?
On SoundCloud. All right. On SoundCloud.
All right. Bless you.
Bless
and
you.
Have
Shalom.
A blessed Feast of Tabernacles. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank
you. All right. 443 area code. Like I said, we're not going to be on here long at all tonight. But the lines are still open if you want to jump in. 515-605-9327. Okay? All right. 443 area code. You're live.
Hello?
Yes, how are you?
Yes, very good, Elder Ricard. Please. Hello?
Yes, your phone went out.
Please forgive me. I didn't think that I'd be able to tap in so soon. I'm only joining into the conversation late, you know, so please forgive me. I just wanted to thank the Most High for you, you know, really, and give all honor, praises, glory, and honor to the Most High in Christ's name, in the name of Yeshua, for yourself, sir, for Elder Loya, and for the whole body. And I just wanted to bless the body in Christ's name and ask that that Christ would, you know, really speak to our hearts, and that his mind and spirit and even the Holy Spirit would bless this this congregation, this body, this family that I'm blessed enough to be a part of. And I thank the Most High continually in these times and days for inspirations like yourself to me. I know, Elder, that you do it for the sake of the Most High. And I understand completely, and I work in the same way. But pardon me for my voice breaking up, but I don't have anybody in my life that I look up to like yourself. And I'm just saying, like, I thank the Most High for you. You give me something to look to, and I just try to be like to do the work. I just got to do the work, and I thank you for doing the work, sir. And that's all I wanted to say. Forgive me. I don't know what the topic is about tonight. I'm chiming in late, just getting off work and yada yada. But honor, praises, glory be to the Almighty, Most Highest, the God of heaven and earth, the Great Creator, in the name of Christ Yeshua, my King, my Master, my Savior, for yourself, sir. For all the elders, for all the deacons, for everybody who's staying grounded in the truth in these last days.
Yeah.
So praise be unto the Father. Truly, you know, he's magnificent, and I can't give him enough praise and honor. And I thank him every day, every hour, for this great body. Thank you, sir. And shalom to you,
brother. And you know what? Shalom, brother. You know what? I thank the Most High for the body also. Strength and even Christ said, Christ told the disciples, be not many masters, that the greatest amongst you shall be your servant. And all in all, we were called to serve as you will serve in Christ's vineyard to help our people out. You understand? So the greatest thank you that anyone could ever do is finish. Okay, there's trials, tribulations, there's a lot coming. There's a world where, there's a whirlwind coming against God's people now that we've found the truth. And it's good to know that prayers like yours are going up, and that you've joined the body to help us all endure through this, brother. So listen, brother, just endure, because the walk isn't easy. It isn't easy, but never lose your fire, never lose your way. And guess what? Always keep your eye on the prize. Don't get focused in the now. Focus. That's right. Your focus is the finish line. See, and this is why I'm able to endure it and finish. Is that I'm not dealing with the moment, because the moment we're up, down, sometimes doubt may come in, whatever the case is, but you're always reminded of Christ's crucifix. And you're always reminded, that's the finish line. What I feel, what I think, none of that doesn't matter. The opportunity that was given because Christ was able to finish is our lot. So never get caught up in the now, even the highs. It's good to feel the high of knowing who we are and what Christ came to do for us. But we have to stay even keeled. Not too much highs. Not too much lows. That's right. It's what even Christians call the cross, that we call the crucifix. To see the finish line and finish with us, we're close. That's the greatest thank you. And keep in mind, it's not how long you've done this. That's right. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And guess what? I'm constantly reminding myself of that. I've been in this truth for decades. And it doesn't mean I get a reward unless I finish. That was a warning to those who have labored from the beginning. that the first shall be last. That even if I plow, but if I put down the plow, I've plowed in vain. So what did I get the truth for if I didn't finish? Not many masters, right? It's really not about how many scriptures you know. It's through time and study that I've learned the precept and was able to edify and learn the true doctrine. But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than just knowing scriptures. You can have one person who know one scripture and fear the Most High and may not be able to go through the word like everyone else, but that one scripture keeps them grounded and it gives them enough fuel to finish. And at the end of the day, and what keeps me going with this, brother, and you, and keep in mind with this, Christ was crucified because none of us, through our own works, even through all the great works, is worthy. And we must constantly remind ourselves it's through his grace we're accepted. That's a continual humbling of those who may think they know something and think that they have, you know, some type of secret sauce above all people to make it through. Well, no. No one is greater than Christ, and Christ have called us to the vineyard. And what I tell brothers all the time, and I'm going to tell you, you will know someone by their fruit or their works. Okay? Listen, if someone pick up the plow and put it down, I understand what they are and who they are. And what you have to understand, Christ called us in the vineyard to finish together. So, brother, what you have to do is finish. I appreciate your prayer, but understand what Christ said. Be not many masters. We're not in this to try to show that we know more scriptures than the other people and all that. We're in it to finish, okay? And we're in it also to understand not being many masters, that the greatest among you shall be your servant. We're here to serve God's people, and that's exactly what this church has done and will continue to do, okay? And I hope that you endure with us and do the same, okay?
Yes, sir.
My brother.
Sir, I will. Most High Woman,
from
yes,
the
sir.
Same
Thank
mother.
You.
I believe you. All right. One moment.
The water.
All right. We only got a few more calls. You're welcome. 920 area code. 920.
Hello, this is Colin. Can you hear me?
Yes, you have a lot of things going on in the background. It's like you're in a factory or something.
Oh, okay. Hey, my question to you is, if Edom cannot get into the kingdom, who's going to be serving or the servants then?
Hey, brother, let me get your name first and location.
My name is Colvin. I'm from Kenosha, yeah, where they had the riots about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And
all right, let me answer
and,
your question.
Okay.
Let me answer your question now. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you get the idea that we said or we thought that Edom cannot get into the kingdom?
Not from you guys, from IUIC, to be honest.
Listen. IUIC is not the kingdom of heaven. Okay, they're not at the door. Christ is. So I can care less what they say. What did Christ
okay.
say? You have a Bible.
But
okay.
you know anybody could, you know, they're pretty good
okay.
with the scripture.
Listen. Hey, brother, yeah. listen to what I'm saying, though.
I am.
David Koresh had a doctrine. Jim Jones had a doctrine. Okay. IUIC have a doctrine. The Catholics have a doctrine. The Muslims have a doctrine. See what you can't get caught up in, brother. What's your name again?
Colvin. Calvin with an O.
Huh?
Calvin with an O.
Calvin.
Colvin.
What you can't get
yeah.
Okay, Colvin. What you can't get caught up, Colvin, is getting offended of men. Okay.
Okay.
The whole thing is Israelites. There were many factions of Israelites during Christ's time. Right? Okay. So do you have a Bible with you?
Oh, yeah. I don't have it with me right now, but yes, I do have a
okay.
King James Bible.
Okay, well, let me give it to you in a nutshell, okay?
Okay.
No, number one, Cornelius was a Gentile, number one. Number two, Cornelius was of the Italian band. And when you go to Acts, the 15th chapter, it breaks down why Peter accepted the Gentile. Why? To take out a people for his name. And when you go to Amos, it breaks it down, the 9th chapter down to the 11th verse, so that Israel can possess the house of Edom and all the Gentiles who are called by Christ's name. So it's utterly ridiculous to say that someone is going into captivity and all this other stuff they're saying without saying how do they get to the other side to serve. It doesn't make sense. Okay?
Well,
I'm not here to...
You know,
this
my
is,
question
so I'm not,
to you
so,
is...
Now, listen, I'm gonna let you ask the question, okay?
Okay.
But listen, I'm not here to answer questions for IUIC, okay? That doctrine, I've been there, I've done that, okay? I'm not here to answer to them. You calling us. We have nothing to do with them outside of them knowing they're Israel, and we know that we're Israel. We believe the Bible. We don't follow a doctrine through IUIC.
Oh, I know you guys are definitely separate from IUIC. But that's the thing. When you said Cornelius was a Italian, see, when I was listening to them, they said that he was actually black. And that's why I'm getting a little bit confused. And
you
to,
know why
you're
confused?
You know,
listen, you know why you're confused? Because the Bible says you cannot, you're confused because the Bible says you cannot be called to and fro in your doctrine. Brother, I'm trying to have a conversation. It's just like, what are you pressing? You at a press mill somewhere? You're digging oil? What's going on? You at a factory?
No, I'm not. But, all right, here. It should be quiet right now. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. This is what I'm telling you. The Bible says you cannot be tossed to and fro in different winds of doctrine. Now, I'm going to ask you a question real quick, since you are a person who looked at IUIC, even though I don't follow anything that they're dealing with, really. It's like this. Where in the Bible does it say Cornelius is a black man?
It doesn't just say it that he's black, but it doesn't say that he's Italian either, does it?
Okay, I'm going to ask you again. Where in the Bible, don't answer anything outside of what I'm asking you. I'm edifying
okay,
you.
Okay, then. All right. I'll
where
do
does it say in the Bible that Cornelius was a black man?
It doesn't.
Okay, so the Bible says let the Most High be true and every man a liar, correct?
Yes, it does.
So if someone say Cornelius is a black man and can't prove it out of the Bible, they are what?
A liar.
There you go. So I'm not here to answer questions about people that you can go into the Bible and see aren't truthful.
Okay.
Cornelius was of the Italian. So this is how you know Cornelius was Esau, right? I'm going to show you. You ready?
Yes. Go ahead.
Lord have you got beats going on. Where are you?
Work. So I don't have long. But I had to ask this question because it's been curious to me.
Okay. Well, I'm going to fix your curiosity. One moment. I'm going to go into the Bible for you. The Bible says let the Most High be true and every man a liar, right? So let's go to Eastward right here. Here's a Bible in front of me. And I'm going to go real quick. Elder Lawyer, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
All right, Elder Lawyer. Let's go to Acts 10. Acts 10. Real quick. And listen. Your name is Colvin?
Yep.
All right, Colvin, I'm not giving you these scriptures so that you can go and argue back and forth with IUIC, okay? I'm giving you these scriptures so that you can know what God says. I don't have no problem with IUIC or any other group out there.
I'm looking for truth.
I'm going to give it to you. But let me tell you, I'm going to say it to you once, Colvin. It's insulting. It's not your fault because I know you don't. It's an insult to come to us about something IUIC said as if all blacks are the same. Okay? It's an insult.
I never meant to insult anybody. I know you didn't, but
I'm teaching you something. You didn't learn that here in the Western world. Okay? All of the disciples were black men, including the Pharisees and scribes who were against Christ. But you wouldn't ask the Pharisees, you wouldn't ask Christ to clear up something the Pharisees told you, would you? Right? So, I digress.
You know what? Listen. I definitely would ask Christ to clear up something that the Pharisee told me. Because I think I'm looking for truth.
You know what? I take that back. I take that back. Because it does say, Jacob seeketh a sign, but the Greek seeketh after wisdom. You would probably will ask that. You just want to know, right? All right. Elder William, read Acts 10 for me real quick. Acts 10 and 1. Let's clear up this Cornelius thing real quick. Elder lawyer.
Yes, sir. The book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band.
Okay. So what was he again, Elder lawyer?
It says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band.
So he was of the band called the Italian Band, right? You heard that, Colvin?
Yes, I did. I heard that. He was of the Italian Band.
Okay. Just stick with me because I'm going to break it down quickly then, because when you hear this, you'll be totally edified through the precepts.
Okay.
No conversation. Right?
Okay.
Elder lawyer, you know the story where Peter goes to sleep and all these unclean beasts come down and the Most High says, take, eat. Three times, and Peter said, I've never taken or eaten anything common or unclean. You know that story, right, Colvin?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
now, Elder lawyer, let's go all the way down to the 26th verse.
Yes, sir.
Start, what are you working at, a paper mill or somewhere? Let's go to the 25th verse.
I can hear you
Acts 25.
Read it.
And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation.
Of another nation. So it's clear Cornelius was not an Israelite. I get it.
It's not good for a man to keep company with another nation. Nationality. Gotcha.
He's another race. Three?
Yep. I get it.
You know it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God have showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean.
Case closed. Now there's more. Let's go to Acts 15 and 14. Acts 15 and 14. Now I need you to listen, Colvin.
I'm listening.
Acts 15 and 14.
Acts 15, verse 14. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name.
So why did, it says Simon had declared how the Most High at first did visit the Gentiles, Cornelius, to take out a people for his name. Read on.
And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up.
Come on.
That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things.
Now, how do we know this is talking about Edomites too? Well, this particular quote comes from the book of what? Amos. Let's go to Amos to show you what the disciples quoted, the fulfillment when it came to Cornelius. What race was Cornelius? Well, let's go to the scripture that almost quote this verbatim. Let's go now to Amos 9. And Elder Lawyer, let's read the same scripture almost. Amos 9 and 11. Read it.
Yes, sir. Amos 9, verse 11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacles of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old.
Hear it.
That they may possess the remnant of Edom.
The remnant of who?
The remnant of Edom.
The remnant of Edom.
And of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord, that doeth this.
Heathen is another name for Gentile. And this is okay. Why the Most High accepted Cornelius and the Gentiles that were converted who weren't Israelites. Got it?
Gotcha. I gotcha.
All right. So here's some advice for you. Stop listening to those guys and come to the truth.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, I get it because, you know, I don't agree with everything of their doctrine. I really don't. Because it made me ask, that's why I call and ask questions. Well, if you're saying this, something doesn't make sense to me.
Listen, it makes sense, brother. There's many doctrines and many teachers out there and many different factions, like they were doing crisis time. But that particular doctrine, they don't even believe in baptism. So if you don't believe in baptism, the first thing Christ said do to make it into his kingdom, how can I hear anything else? So you can wait.
Yeah,
you
baptized,
can continue
yeah.
to... No, I'm just saying in particular, you have to focus on the context of what I'm saying, Kobe.
I got
you're sitting
you.
There,
you're
listen,
saying
listen,
that.
Listen, what I'm saying is, it tells us that what? He told the Pharisees and scribes. He says, they go out to make proselytes two times the child of hell to themselves. And on top of that, it says they'll shut up the kingdom of heaven for those who would go in when they're not getting in themselves. That particular group in particular don't have the doorway to the kingdom.
Yeah, they're the Pharisees. They're the Pharisees.
Well,
I get it.
Listen, I'm not here, like I said, I'm not here. I've been there. I've done that, okay? If you want to continue to waste your time, beat your head against a wall with someone who's teaching against baptism, that's your issue. I'm not here to clear up everything they mess up when you go to them, okay?
I hear you. Now,
all
don't
right,
get me wrong. It seems like you're upset with me for asking the question, but...
No,
I'm just,
no,
you know,
Colvin,
I'm searching for truth.
Colvin,
yes,
listen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm not upset with you. What I'm being, I'm being exact with you, discerning the time. Stop wasting your time with something that doesn't edify and build you towards Christ's kingdom.
Okay.
Got it?
I got you.
My brother. All right, shallow one.
I hear you. You know, I'm going to say one last thing and I'm going to get off there. I started watching you guys maybe back in 07, I think. And
okay.
I don't even want to tell you when I first saw you guys, but you know what? Here I am, still watching you. You guys are great.
All praise.
But I
got to
go. You guys take it easy. Shalom. I really appreciate you taking the time out to answer my question, though.
Shalom, and be careful in this. It's like you're working with some big machine. Shalom.
All right. Thank you.
All right. All right, Elder Lawyer, we're about to break down. Only have a couple of seconds, and we'll be done. And may the Most High be with you. And I'm just saying, I'm telling brothers and sisters out there real quick, right? There's many doctrines, many teachings, but Christ is the door. John, the 10th chapter. All due respect for the brothers that at IUIC and other places, I know about the doctrine. I know what they're teaching. I've taught it. Okay? And I believe it or not, to some degree, you understand, straight out. It doesn't matter the doctrine initially, that Christ can be in any place we are initially and move us as we study towards his doctrine. There's many people who came out of the Christian church. I came out of the Christian church. I was a high general in the Israeli school of UPK and then the Israeli church of UPK. So there's nothing about that doctrine that UPK is teaching, GMS is teaching, or IUIC is teaching that I don't know backwards and forward like the back of my hand. Okay? No disrespect to any of them. Okay? The reality is when you study the Bible and follow Christ, you'll understand that anyone that teaches, you don't have to do something Christ did. Regardless of how well they teach history or can put precepts together, that's the spirit of Antichrist. If someone tell you that you can be baptized by reading the word, the devil is in the way or at the door, is at the door of their doctrine. If Christ did it, you do it, period. Don't try to do no precept gymnastics around Christ. How many times we reprimanded the Christians for trying to jump around Christ? So all due respect, okay, I've been there, I've done that. And why I came down on the brother is that time is short. I don't have no time to be rehashing all of that stuff when brothers and sisters are going to these sites, getting tossed to and fro in different winds of doctrine. Keep in mind, these brothers are pretty sharp and how they will the Bible in teaching that doctrine. And you're not as sharp as them. And if you're not standing on the full faith of Christ with precepts, you will be what? You will be tossed to and fro and confused. See? And that's the frustration on my side, because you say you've seen us in 2007. You're still going back trying to kick up against a wall with people who saying they don't want to, they don't accept you. And guess what? They don't accept Christ's baptism, but you think you're going to try to convince them to the otherwise? No. They're going to have you tossed all around, calling to gather to Christ Church, asking us questions as if we upholding that doctrine. Okay? So that's what happens when you get tossed to and fro. You come back here, you ask us to throw you a raft back to safety when you're swimming out there with the sharks. You're swimming out. You can. Let me tell you, you cannot go tick for tack precept with these guys. They'll have you up all night confused about your salvation and everything else because they're more seasoned in those scriptures than you are. See, but I'm not worried about any of that because I've been there. I know what they'll teach. A matter of fact, if I wanted to, I can set up a page right now with a new name and teach everything they're teaching verbatim. But it's not the way. George, is that George with the comment? You have a comment? George.
Already commented, Elder.
All right. I'm sorry about that, George. Last but not least, we're going to end it early tonight, Elder Lawyer. I'm going to end it with Sunshine. Sunshine, you got to come on now.
Yes, sir.
Jump right with it.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hi. Hello.
Come on, Sunshine, bring it.
Okay.
Here's what you got to say now.
Okay. Okay, Elder. Elder, I also got my camera, too, from last week. But okay. Elder. It's no doubt that the world can see Israel waking up while this entire kingdom is a conspiracy that's coming right down, and we can see it clearly with every false step made against us. They're coming after the children, the poor, and the meek of the earth, and we know that they full well know that Christ said the meek will inherit the earth, but whatever they continually attempt to put out, to entrap or subdue us with is the same ditch that they themselves fall into. So it becomes as hard a life for them to maneuver and work evil upon their bed, and to make strife and hardship that they continually do to push against us in the, you know, where we are in the four corners of the world. And they move from one attempt to another to keep our strength and light hidden, when in fact our strength is knowing and doing as we are expected as men and women. And this is what the Most High has made us to be. As a woman, I embrace my femininity in every way I can and desire not to be anything but a woman, and even more so a woman of the Most High, a daughter of Zion according to the word, and a pleasure in his sight, and to value and admire the righteousness of the man of gold sitting in my place and put in my place is a true gift to behold. For how beautiful are the feet of the men of the Most High's pastor who operate in the gospel of peace and supported by their women. And no matter what the chess piece played, lie to lie, agenda to agenda, or lockdown to lockdown, we know that our power is a man of war, and no chess piece played will ever surpass the will of the Most High. No media apparatus can change this fact that the world turned upside down for a season, for a time, is now being transformed before our eyes to its rightful state. For our Lord and Savior, Yeshua with the rod. And the conspiracists, they couldn't stop the truth, including our knowledge of the feast and the feast of tabernacles, yay! And the light from being hid under a bushel. And they definitely can't stop the Most High Spirit from being poured out onto the whole earth, so that the righteous will be righteous still. And who we are on earth, created to be as men and women, it's in perfect order, and it's good to be a part of this acceptance of who I was meant to be from the beginning, to learn my purpose daily by grace is a humbling experience, like you were mentioning, and a reminder of the Most High's enduring mercy upon us all. And so that's all I wanted to say. Happy feast. Happy feast. Praise to the Most High. I'll bless you, elders.
Happy feast. Happy Feast of Tabernacles, Sunshine. Let me ask you real quick. Is you and your family out camping right now? Are you out camping?
Oh no, but we're in the islands, and it's like a pseudo situation, but we're not camping, but we're enjoying the feast. Yeah. The best we can with them, one day at a time, celebrating with
Great.
Something like to eat and doing the solemn feast and, you know, the holy convocation. Yeah.
Great. Well, sister, tell your husband I'm saying hello, bless your family, and you have a blessed tabernacle, okay?
Yay! Happy tabernacle!
Blessings. She always come with a smile, and that's wonderful. All right, Elder Lawyer, that concludes our broadcast for this evening. That's right. That concludes it. Elder, thank you for your participation this evening, helping me out there. And all in all, this is great to see our people just out there. They got tents out there. The children are having a good time, Elder Lawyer, and the Most High have called us for this moment, and it's a phenomenon. It's a miracle to see God's people standing together again for him and for each other. Anything you'd like to say before I conclude, otherwise?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Just off the back of the previous call, this is kind of a message for everyone, especially new learners, people, and the brother who called in, I know he said he's been learning since 2007. It's been 15 years since then, but one of the biggest mistakes you can make is trying to get a one-up from going from place to place. As you've put it, you've pretty much already explained it, but going from place to place, trying to either get a one-up or think that you're fast-tracking yourself. In reality, what you're doing is you're taking away from yourself. You can never build being tossed to and fro. You're never going to get a straight point of focus or point of reference by which you can actually grow and build a foundation. So just a message to everyone who is listening, especially new learners, find a teacher. If you don't believe that it's us, that we have the truth, or that we have the information, find the person that you believe or the organization that you believe can guide you and lead you with the information, and study with that organization. Stick with that one organization. Grow with that one organization. You'll see things, at least you'll see some level of stability if you decide to make that decision. Outside of that, man, I'm seeing some of the activities that are taking place, and it's wonderful, man. I couldn't, you know, we spoke behind the scenes. I'm dealing with something right now. One of my hens are not doing too well, so I have to keep a monitor on her, but I'm going to try to at least make it out sometime later this or the final days of the feast to try to get into some of the festivities, so on and so forth. But definitely the people are looking like they're having a great time. The children, everyone is celebrating. Everyone is just, you know, getting this beautiful experience that you can't really pay for or really can't find any other place in the earth. And it's a very great experience. And with that, I yield and say a blessed continued Feast of Tabernacles.
Well, thank you, Elder. I appreciate all you do. And my prayer goes up for you and your family in that hen that's sitting on that egg that won't get up. I pray to
the
spirit jump on that so we can lay some more eggs so we can eat.
Yes, sir.
But
yes,
you
indeed.
Take care of things, and I'll see you this weekend, okay?
Yes, sir.
And I'll end it with, of course, brotherly love. You have a great, great evening. Bless Tabernacle. Shalom.
Yes, sir. You do the same. Shalom.
Right. We have a lot of festivities that I'm going to upload going soon, coming soon, brothers and sisters. We thank you for your presence this evening. And I pray that even if you can't be out there, that in your spirit, that you're keeping a blessed Feast of Tabernacle and remember what the Most High did for us. He've always protected us. He's given us, he fed us manna, brothers and sisters, in the wilderness when there was nothing to eat. He gave us water when there was no water. And through Christ, till this day, food, shelter, and raiment and provisions have been provided. Christ, the beginning, has and are doing their part. As the children of Israel and those Gentiles in Christ, well, it's time for us to do ours. With that, I'm going to say shalom. May the Most High be with you. Stay prayed up, sin not, and have a blessed Feast of Tabernacles. And always remember to keep brotherly love. Shalom, and have a blessed evening. Bless you.
Shalom.
Shalom.